Chapter 27. Spire Albion, Habble Landing, The Black Horse Inn. Bridget walked along a bit behind Benedict, whose eyes constantly scanned the streets around them as they walked from the temple to the inn Brother Vincent had named. She really shouldn't have been chattering at him on the way there. After all, it was his duty to watch for danger and protect Master Ferris from any attack. How could he do that effectively while she was hanging all over him?
"What did you discover, Folly?"
Master Ferris was saying to his apprentice. The oddly dressed girl frowned for half a minute before she spoke.
"Frozen souls."
"Ah," Ferris said, raising a finger.
"Yes, near enough. Well done, child."
Folly beamed and hugged her jar of crystals to her chest.
"But why haven't I ever felt anything like that in our study?"
"It is primarily a matter of density," Ferris replied. "One needs more than a handful of trees to see a forest."
Folly frowned at that.
"It seemed as if they spoke to one another."
"Nothing quite so complex as that, I think," the etherealist said. "Some sort of communion, though, definitely."
Bridget cleared her throat and said tentatively,
"Excuse me, Master Ferris."
The etherealist and his apprentice turned their eyes to her.
"Yes?"
he asked.
"I do not mean to intrude, but what are you talking about?"
"Books, my dear," Ferris replied. "Books."
Bridget blinked once.
"Books do not have souls, sir."
"Those who write them do,"
Ferris said.
"They leave bits and pieces behind them when they lay down the words, some scraps and smears of their essential nature." He sniffed. "Most untidy, really. But assemble enough scraps, and one might have something approaching a whole."
"You believe that the library has a soul?" Bridget said carefully.
"I do not believe it, young lady,"
Ferris said rather stiffly.
"I know it."
"I see," Bridget said. "Thank you for answering my question."
"You are welcome."
They kept going, following Benedict, and eventually came to the inn on a well-travelled portion of the streets leading to the gallery outside the shipyard. A sign hanging outside featured, as many of them did, the drawing of a fantastic animal that supposedly existed long ago. Most of the inns in Habble Morning were so decorated, Bridget knew. The lettering beneath proclaimed the building to be the Black Horse Inn. They went in and found the usual for such a place, a common room where food and drink were served, in essence a small pub or restaurant. The ceiling was really quite low. Benedict had to duck his head a little to avoid bumping it against the heavy beams supporting the second floor. The air was thick and smoky too. Several men and women sitting huddled at the tables were holding pipes that smouldered with whatever weed they burned within them, which was, strictly speaking, against the guidelines laid out by the merciful builders in the High Manual. Apparently, they had viewed smoking as a serious sin. But then, Habble Landing did have something of a reputation as a place of disinclination to piety. It was, after all, the home Habble of the Wayist Temple, and had only a few small chapels to God in Heaven. Here, the guiding principle was the interest of business, and apparently at the Black Horse Inn, business was excellent. There were 70 people at least crowded into the common room, occupying every table. 2 women were weaving as rapidly as they could through the room, carrying food and drink to the tables, and taking away empty plates and cups. Back in the kitchen, dishes rattled and voices spoke loudly, but without heat, evidence of a business operating at its full, focused speed.
A moment, ladies and gentlemen," called a round-cheeked man in a rather plainly made jacket of silvery grey raw ether silk.
Only after he'd said that did he take a look at them. Bridget saw his bright, rather closely set eyes take in Gwendolyn and Ferris's excellent and expensive clothing at a glance, and he came forward, rubbing his hands together to smile broadly at them.
"We're quite busy, as you can see, but we'll clear you a table in a moment."
Benedict's stomach made a noise audible even over the chatter of the room.
"Wonderful," he said.
"We also have need of lodging, sir," Gwendolyn said. "We've been told your establishment can serve our needs."
The innkeeper rubbed at his neck.
"Ah, miss, I see. We'll be happy to get a hot meal into your bellies, travellers, but I'm afraid my rooms are all spoken for."
"I beg your pardon?" Gwen said, smiling. "I'm not sure I heard you correctly."
"Well, miss," the innkeeper said, "times being what they are, what with an attack and maybe a war and so on, we've no rooms to rent, I'm afraid."
"They're full right now?" Gwendolyn asked. "Every one of them?"
"I'm sorry, but they are,"
the innkeeper lied. It was patently obvious from the expression on his face. Perhaps, Bridget reflected, turning down money was not something an entrepreneur of Habble Landing was emotionally equipped to take in his stride. But why wouldn't he simply rent her the rooms if that was the case?
Ah, it doubtless had to do with...
"Who is renting them?" Gwen asked brightly.
"Perhaps I could make some sort of bargain with that person."
"That's not any business of yours, miss. Meaning no offence, but I don't go blabbing about my customers or their business."
"I'm sure we can reach some kind of understanding," Gwendolyn stated.
"No rooms," the innkeeper said, his jaw setting stubbornly.
Gwendolyn Lancaster narrowed her eyes. They decided to take their dinner in their suite, rather than shouldering their way into the Black Horse's common room. One of the women from downstairs delivered it on several stacked trays. The food came in, hot and fresh, on the best plates the Black Horse had to offer, along with genuine silverware and several rather expensive bottles of mist wine. Once the food had been set out on the room's small table, the serving woman left, and Folly shut and latched the door carefully behind her. The etherealist's apprentice looked wan, as if she hadn't eaten in days. Once the door was closed, the girl immediately hurried to the corner of the room farthest from it and settled down on the floor, holding her little jar of crystals carefully.
"Cuz," Benedict said, opening the first bottle of mist wine. "I'm afraid you may have a thing or two to learn about bargaining for the best possible price."
"It isn't my task to save money," Gwen replied rather tartly. "I'm here to save time."
"Impossible, impossible," Master Ferris said.
"Time is time.
We can barely even see it, much less alter it."
Benedict poured the wine into their glasses calmly, despite his stomach's rumblings, before he seated himself and began to fill his plate. His motions, Bridget noted, were not hurried, but she could see the cords in his neck standing out with the effort of his restraint.
"Not time, then," Gwen said, "but trouble.
Yes, we paid 5 times the price."
10 times, Benedict interjected gently. Gwen waved her hand.
"The point is, we aren't wasting hours running back and forth to the temple until we find another inn."
"Point, child, a fair point," Master Ferris said.
"Little mouse," said Raoul, rather pointedly from the floor, "where should I sit?"
Bridget calmly cleared a little space on the table, put some roasted fowl on a small plate, and lifted Raoul up to the table to sit before it. The cat made a pleased, throaty sound and began nibbling away.
"If I may ask," Bridget asked hesitantly, "what is our next move?"
"Exploit the environment," Master Ferris said around a mouthful of beef. "The room below is an excellent place to sample the local climate for signs of unusual activity. Sir Sorrelin, perhaps you would be willing to employ your talents to go down and listen. Pretend to be drinking. but don't become impaired."
Benedict swallowed hurriedly and cleared his throat. "Master Ferris, I fear that the Spyrarch's orders prevent me from doing any such thing. I'm to stay within arm's reach of you."
The old etherealist blinked.
"I suppose your orders could be interpreted that way, couldn't they?"
"Interpreted literally," Benedict said. "I'm afraid so."
"That being the case," Ferris said, "I will accompany you. It will add verisimilitude to have someone who is genuinely drunk at the table."
He shook his head sadly.
"Death is light as a feather. Duty as heavy as a spire. What?"
"Ah," Benedict said.
"Master Ferris, is that wise?" Gwen asked.
"It's an ancient proverb, handed down from the time of the builders," Ferris replied. "Chronologically speaking, it is wisdom of the highest order."
"Not the proverb," Gwen said.
"You, inebriated. It seems to me that you might have more difficulty pursuing your mission if you are drunk."
"I should far rather be drunk than eaten, Miss Lancaster," Ferris said in a serious tone. "As should we all."
"Very well. That's settled."
Gwen blinked. The etherealist took a slow sip from his glass and nodded owlishly.
"Master Sorrelin and I will confront and destroy several more bottles of this rather excellent mist wine, and see what news can be passively gleaned. Meanwhile, the rest of you will go with Raoul and Bridget to make contact with the local cats. If anything out of the ordinary is happening in Habble Landing, they'll have noticed it."
Raoul looked up from his food to say,
"He said my name first, little mouse. He has an excellent sense of priorities."
Bridget eyed Raoul and then looked back at the old man.
"Master Ferris, forgive me, but I'm not sure exactly how long it might take to make contact. Cats are not known for their forthright hospitality when it comes to meeting strangers."
"I'll help," Gwen said calmly.
Bridget sighed.
"I think your help in this particular endeavour might be counterproductive."
Gwen frowned.
"In what way?"
God in heaven, she really doesn't realise what she's like when she's bearing down on some poor soul, Bridget thought.
Aloud, she said,
"Cats don't react well to...
She faltered and looked over at Benedict, silently pleading for help.
"Gwenness," Benedict said.
Gwen lifted an eyebrow.
"In what way precisely did you mean that remark, cuz?"
"In precisely every way," Benedict replied.
"Your diplomatic efforts so far have consisted of instigating a duel, threatening detachment of Fleet Marines with charges of treason, throwing away a tidy little fortune in bribes, and abruptly discharging a gauntlet into an otherwise non-violent situation."
"But..."
Gwen began.
"Twice," Benedict said mildly.
Gwen regarded him steadily and gave her next bite of fowl a particularly stiff jab of a fork.
"I don't mean to insult you, Gwen, but cats don't react well to the kind of pressure you bring to bear," Bridget said. "Especially not when they're dealing with..."
"Invaders,"
Raoul muttered.
"Newcomers,"
Bridget finished mildly. Gwen rolled her eyes and said,
"Very well. I shall keep myself out from underfoot then." "It's just for the first meeting," Bridget said quickly.
Benedict frowned at Bridget.
"You shouldn't go alone."
"She isn't,"
the etherealist said.
"Folly will be with her."
Bridget glanced at Folly. The girl was bouncing her little jar of crystals gently and singing them a very quiet lullaby. Benedict arched an eyebrow and said,
"Ah."
"It's all right," Bridget said. "Fewer people mean less noise. Raoul will be able to hear potential threats well before they can come near enough to harm us."
Raoul groomed one of his front paws modestly.
"Right then,"
Master Ferris said.
That's settled as well. Go forth. Good hunting. Sir Benedict, let's get drunk.